on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batster. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. The mayor's race in Los Angeles is decided. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Karen Bass, the member of Congress, defeats Rick Caruso, the developer. This is a significant victory for the center of the Democratic Party left, if I understand, and a disappointment to the center of the Democratic Party not left. Am I being articulate enough about how the Democratic Party works in Los Angeles? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. You're spot on. It's a city that right for now is run by the left of center parts of the party, the really heavy duty progressive wing, and the money that supports it, whether it's out of Hollywood or financed or just out of D.C. itself. But this was a win for that side of the party. This was a win for Biden. This was a win for Barack Obama. And as you point out, certainly was a win for Karen Bass by more than 40,000 votes.
Yes, and Rick Caruso doesn't go away. He ran a spirited campaign, spent a great deal of money. Of course, he has a lot to spend. And you tell me that Karen Bass wants him to stay around.
That's correct. They had a very nice phone call with each other a day or two ago. And she said that, they, of course, congratulated each other. He conceded to her formally. And she said that she really hopes that he'll stick around and continue to be a part of LA's fabric. A lot of people who think about him only in the way of being a developer don't understand that he's been a huge philanthropist in the LA County area for quite some time, all kinds of causes, been very active on civic things, you know, whether you're talking about the police commission or charities. So, you know, he's had a lot of experience working with and helping LA. So I don't see him going away. He may, you know, pull back from doing anything political again. After all, even though he's a multi-billionaire, it did cost him over $100 million.
Disneyland. Jeff, the last time I checked in on Disneyland, we were worried about the rides opening up, the park opening up. There was a transition from the pandemic. And I remember them raising rates in 21. Have they raised the rates again? I lose track.
They have raised the rates at all their theme parks. It first made news, earlier this week, as they raised prices in Florida. But now they're talking about the prices of passes here in California. And not only did they sell those, but they sold out of them. So, right now, a lot of the people that are really into Disneyland say, you know, there's no sign ahead that this is going to stop. We just figure they're going to keep raising prices forever because they've had no pushback on it. Matter of fact, it seems like every time they raise prices, more people want to come to the park.
And do they raise the pay of the, you know, Yodeler Bliss Jr. or Engineer Bliss Jr.? Do they get more money when the ticket prices go up for the pass?
That's a good question. You know, there are a lot of different collective bargaining units within the park. In other words, unions. And then you have management, you know, in the upper parts of management. And so they're all kind of structured differently. But the unions, their salaries are pretty well set because, you know, they're on a calendar schedule according to their contract. But you can sure as heck bet that when their next ones come up in the next year or two, they're going to have some pretty strong legs to stand on because they're going to say, look, Disney is making record profits. You're raising the cost for the park. And we think that the people who are in management are getting big raises, too. So we want to. So this is going to be the snake chasing its tail in terms of money and prices for a long time.
A mountain lion, not at Disneyland, but at a park. Where, Jeff?
This was in Hesperia Lake Park, which is about 40, 45 miles northwest of Los Angeles. It's a suburb of L.A. And, just yesterday, as happens in other parts of Southern California and Northern California, a mountain lion decided just kind of go walking through the park while people were there fishing, playing with their kids, playing ball. And they did get it on camera. It wasn't a very big one. It was, they think it was a young, maybe even a cub, kind of just coming out of being a cub. But it was not caught, and they don't know where it went. So that area is not on lockdown, but they're very wary of what's going on right now.
The front page of the Wall Street Journal right now, Twitter's mass resignations test Musk's management playbook. Not pursuing that part of the story. questioning about Twitter and a number of people leaving, but you've sent me photographs. Downtown San Francisco looks like people have left already. So Twitter's joining the exodus.
Well, Twitter's been, you know, since Musk said he was going to take it, he's been saying, look, I think we could just move out of San Francisco, move to Texas with my other enterprises, certainly move it out of San Francisco where it's ridiculously expensive to have office space and, you know, where people can, you know, make money to live. But, you know, I think there's a lot of momentum now for moving out of San Francisco, especially with so many people leaving the company in the wake of Musk taking over.
And those photographs, Jeff, of the storefronts empty or the storefronts with people camping in on them, that's downtown San Francisco, right? That's not the marginal areas.
That's right. It's really across the board in San Francisco, but it certainly felt, you know, pretty darn hard in the business district, the financial district, because, you know, that's not only a place where the money is coming in and going out, but it's a place where there are so many people working all day long that they support so many other businesses. So what we're going to see in the next couple of years is a big revenue drain from the city coffers and the county coffers in San Francisco as more and more of these businesses leave and more offices otherwise will say just work at home or have a hybrid schedule. It's not going to look like it used to, and they're not going to see the same amount of money they used to see when it came to taxes.
Another headline in the Wall Street Journal, FTX's Bankman-Fried cashed out $300 million in funding spree. I don't follow that detail. But you tell me that there's a Stanford connection here. I think both of his parents are professors at Stanford. Stanford's always in the news for what you'd have to say, digital revolution. This story doesn't promise to be happy for Stanford, but it's part of the mix of the modern age. So I just mentioned that Stanford is watching this story very carefully. We go from here to something that Jeff introduced me to, I think accidentally, when he was visiting Las Vegas. My memory is last year. There's an airline that you attend to by giving your secret coded badge number or something that flies you to Area 51. Do I remember that correctly, Jeff?
That's correct. It's an unmarked airline. It's just a white plane or a couple of planes that fly from Las Vegas's McCarran Airport out of a special terminal to Area 51. You just can't drive there off a main road, just turn off the highway and go to Area 51, the super secret test facility. But you do go there by a government jet or charter jet that they have. And so if you're standing in the right place in certain hotels, like I was when we spoke, you can look out the window and see this terminal and see those unmarked planes tucked in a corner of the airport.
So you fly to Las Vegas and then you transfer to this private, well, government run airline. And then you fly to Area 51, which is off limits to everyone because they're testing new aircraft. And that's where they keep the captured spaceship, right, Jeff? The one that the aliens brought.
That's the standard joke. But, you know, it's the place where aircraft like the SR-71 Blackbird, the right. U-2, the stealth bombers, and the new the Aurora, which is about to come online, were all developed and tested out on a regular basis. So it is super secret. It's about 120 miles from Vegas. And they do guard it, you know, very closely.
All right. Now, 30 seconds, Jeff. The FBI and the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigation raided a man's home because of Area 51. Can you explain this in 30 seconds?
Yes. George Arnoux has a home right near Area 51, as well as one in Vegas. He has a website where he shows photos of the area and certain aircraft that fly over. Apparently, he did something they didn't like. Some people have supposed it was drone photography of the area. And his homes in both locations were raided. And when I mean raided, they took it apart bit by bit looking for something. He wasn't arrested, but they took all his electronics. And so that's an ongoing story.
The website is dreamlandresort.com. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.